بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 74. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة، وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. Then your hearts hardened after that, so they are like stones or even harder. For indeed there are some stones from which streams gush forth. And indeed there are some of them that split and water issues from them. And indeed there are some of them that fall for the fear of Allah. And Allah is not oblivious of what you do. This verse is revealed after the story of the cow and the revival of that man who was killed, and which was a sign for Banu Israel. Now here, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, then their hearts hardened. It may mean that after that incident, that Allah revived that person, the hearts of your forefathers, again, as you remember, we say that this is bringing the past history of the Jews into their attention, saying that if you are boasting about your history and that we are the ones who have received scripture before you, this is your past history, so do not boast about it. Or it may mean that after mentioning all these stories for you, the hearts of your people here in Medina have hardened, and you do not accept anything about the revelation about God, whatever the prophet is saying. So قلوبكم may mean your hearts, addressing the Jews of Medina, or the heart of your fathers after seeing all those signs of Allah, from the splitting the sea, water coming from the stone that Moses gushed forth with his staff, and all other things that you saw at the time of Pharaoh, the hearts of your forefathers became hardened. So whichever way, it gives the same meaning. First of all, if you boast about your history, that is your past history. Now, of course, the way you are treating this message, this revelation, is what we see. You do not accept anything. Your hearts have become qasi. Now, قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, hardened. This قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ, قَسْوَة means hardness, as against رَقَّة, which means softness. And these are two qualities of the heart, or openness of the heart. Because when God heart hardens, it means it is closed. And the other term for it is that ضِيقُ الْقَلْبِ, that the heart is completely closed. As we have in Surah An'am, يَجْعَلْ قَلْبَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا وَمَنْ يُرَدْ أَنْ يُذَلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ قَلْبَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. Whoever God wishes to misguide, he hardens the heart, closes it completely. So this qaswatul qalb is probably the worst punishment which comes upon a person due to their acts, of course. As we have mentioned before several times, when Allah says we harden the hearts or we soften the hearts, it's due to the actions that a person has committed before. When the heart hardens, it actually does not allow the person to remember God, to remember anything beyond this world. Now, we have a couple of hadith in this regard. Under the verse, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ, in Surah Zumar, is the one whom Allah has opened his hearts, and there is a light from the Lord in the hearts equal to the ones that فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Woe to those whose hearts are hard. Now, مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ means that they are closed to the remembrance of God, or they are closed because of remembrance of God. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That when God is mentioned, they turn away completely. When God is not mentioned, well, of course, they are so-so. Sometimes they want spirituality, sometimes they don't want spirituality. But when God in its entirety is mentioned, their heart becomes closed. We have one hadith from the Prophet, which is actually has two versions. One is mentioned in Rawzatul Wa'izin by Fattal, who was a Shia scholar, and the other one is reported by Ibn Mardway from Ibn Mas'ud, which is a Sunni scholar, about this hardness of the heart. The hadith from the Prophet in Rawzatul Wa'izin is like that. إِنَّهُ قَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. He recited this ayah, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَقَالَ إِنَّ النُّورَ. When the light of guidance falls into hearts. إِذَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ انْفَسَخَ لَهُ وَانْشَرَحَ. The heart expands and opens up, this light of Allah, when it falls into the heart. And they said, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَمْحَلْ لِذَلِكَ عَلَامَةٌ. Is there a sign for that, when this light falls in the heart? How would a person become? How would we know that there is a light in our heart, and then when Allah is mentioned, the heart is somehow elated, feels spiritual? He says, yes, there is an alama, there is a sign for that. قَالَ أَتَّجَافِيَ عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ وَالْإِنَابَةَ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادَ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. If the heart raises up from this deceptive world and turns towards the eternal world, وَالْإِنَابَةَ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ, and prepare itself for death before it comes. This is the attitude of a person whose heart is open. And anything about God mentioned goes into that heart. Anything about faith goes into that heart. This is completely the opposite of qaswatul qalb, the hardness. Now, what this means, maybe you have experienced this. Sometimes there comes times, all of us have experienced this, that we think about the end of our lives very frequently, that life is going to end, not just theoretically. Practically, it is internalized that we think that, well, nothing is important because life is going to end, because something else is coming, something beyond is coming. In those moments, when we recite the Quran, when we pray, when we supplicate, you see that heart has reception, and it goes into the heart in its entirety. This is the openness of the heart. Now, the closeness is that you always think about this world. Oh, what happens tomorrow? What shortcomings I have in my life? What God has not given me? And when we always think about these things, then we pray, we recite Quran, we fast. It doesn't work on the heart. This is the hardness of the heart. So, hardness of the heart is when the heart completely turns to this world and it does not allow it, nothing of remembrance of God go into it. When the heart turns into the next world, according to this hadith, then this is the softness of the heart, and everything would go. So hardness and softness here doesn't mean cruelty and kindness. It's about a different sphere of understanding. Cruelty and softness, of course, are two other qualities of the heart, but here it is discussing about the way the heart turns towards this world or towards the next world. When it turns towards the next world, everything about God, guidance, Quran, scripture would go in. When it turns to this world, it becomes hard. And the hadith, which is mentioned by Ibn Mas'ud through the Sunni sources, says almost the same thing, that when this verse was recited, we asked, Ya Nabi Allah, kayfan shirahu sadr, how the heart opens. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ Whoever Allah wishes to guide opens his heart to Islam, to submission. And he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ النُّورَ الْقَالْبِ إِنْشَرَحَ وَانْفَسَخْ When the heart enters, when the light enters the heart, it opens, it expands. We said, what is the sign for that? قَارَ الْإِنَابَةُ إِلَى دَارِ الْخُلُودِ وَالتَّجَافِيَ عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ والتأهب للموت قبل نزول الموت. So the same thing, turning towards the eternal life, turning away, rising up from this deceptive world. It's deceptive. Why? Why is deceptive? Because it usually deceives you by insinuating that this is your eternal abode. This is your only abode. That's the deception about this life. And, of course, being prepared for the death before it comes. And this is actually the dua that we have read from the 27th, on the 9th of 27th of Ramadan. Imam Zainul Abidin was from the Maghrib to sunrise. He was actually, or to Fajr, he was continuously repeating, Allahumma inni as'aluka tajafi an dar al-ghurur wal-inabata ila dar al-khulud wal-isti'dada lil-maut qabl hulul al-faut. This is what the dua of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. So it shows that this is something that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had taught. Now, about the Jews who are addressed by this verse, Allah says that they are completely turned to this life. They forget the next world. Although they are very scrupulous about the rules of their Sharia, although they are boasting about their religion, their faith, however, لَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَسَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ You will find them, they are so eager to any type of life in this world. Any type, ala hayatan, any type of life. They don't care whether it's blessed by the blessing of God, it's not blessed. They are very eager to the life of this world, and even more eager than mushrikeen. Mushrikeen who do not worship God, who do not believe in God or God's power. These people are more eager, who are believing in God, to this world, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ Some of them, or you see one of them, is actually willing to live for 1,000 years. And also, in Surah Al-Jum'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ Say to the Jews, if you think that you are awliya Allah, this is what actually they were saying all the time to the Muslims. We are awliya Allah, we are the chosen people, we are the descendants of Ishaq and Ibrahim. He says, if you are like that, if you are truthful in that, then wish for the death, not turn to the next world, don't turn to this world. So this qaswatul qalb, as I said, is when the heart completely turns to this world and forgets about next world, doesn't want to think about God, may do automatically, habitually, as a habit, may do all the instructions of Sharia, completely, very fussy about najasa, tahara, the time of salah, everything. But the heart is actually, the window of the heart is towards this world, is not towards that world. This is qaswatul qalb. And the opposite is when the window of the heart is towards that world, although living in this world. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ After all that, your hearts became very hard, in the meaning that we mentioned. فَحِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ It is like a stone. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ Or it is even harder than hijara. Because when I'm talking about the stone, you don't think that a stone is something very hard. Of course, you see it very solid, very hard. However, when you look at it the way we look at it, the way Allah sees the stones have benefits for people. The stones have fear in themselves that you do not see, but you even don't have that as human beings. Who is the, of course, you are the human being, is the cream of all creation in their relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look when your heart is compared to a stone. Now, let me compare your hearts to stone. What do we see from the stones? وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. Some of these stones are very useful for people. The streams gush forth from them. Some of them are not that useful, but still, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقَ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. Some of them, you see, they split, and little water comes out of them. Little use there is there for these stones, although not like those from which the streams flow, but little use come from them. And some of these stones, no use come from them. However, they in themselves are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Some of them fall from خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Now, if we want to consider these three levels of stone, which are mentioned here, or three degrees of the way the stones are seen, and we want to compare it to people. There are some people who are spiritual, and this spirituality extends to others because they are very pure. They are absolutely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hearts turn to them. And this is what Allah mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَحِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَائِيلَ أن تحرى بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. We instructed Ibrahim and Ismail to purify my house. And my house here, if you want to take it, how the house is purified? By purification of their hearts. You see, building a mosque, anyone can build a mosque. I mean, any king, any dictator can instruct someone to build a magnificent mosque. But that is not what Allah regards as a spiritual place. Why Ibrahim was instructed to build that house? You see, this Kaaba is the house, isn't it? This Masjid al-Haram was built later on around it by despots, by dictators. You know that. I mean, Masjid al-Haram is a very holy place because it's round Kaaba. But these buildings are not holy, of course. They are not something which Allah pays attention to at all. This very simple house, this cubicle house, this was built by the hands of Ibrahim. Ibrahim was a wealthy man, of course. Ibrahim could employ some constructors to come and build the house for him. No, I want it to be built by your hand because your heart is pure. And when you build this house is pure. And this I call my house because you and Ismail, no one else, they did not allow anyone, any builder to come and help them in that. No, it was only them. It was only their hands. So, tahira bayti, purify my house, mean by building it yourself with your pure hearts. When you have pure hearts, what happens? And tahira bayti lit-ta'ifina wal-qa'imin wal-ruk'a as-sujud. For those who reside here, for those who come from long distance, who want to do ruku and suju, you become the emblem, you become the symbol. And this is why, when we go to Kaaba, when we go to Mecca, I mean, the way Allah described this journey to us, He says that, He doesn't say, come to my house and pray there. He says, come to Ibrahim and pray where he stood. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. Call people to come to you. وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ذَامِرًا. On foot or on any vehicle, they come to you. Not they come to the house. of course, House and Ibrahim are now one. They are identified as one identity. And this is a very strange thing, because at the time of Ibrahim, apparently very, very few people maybe performed Hajj. We don't know. Even anyone except them performed Hajj. But it was a prediction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a foretelling that you call and you will see that people flock here from all over the world. Ya'tuka, when you call, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجْرٍ. You will see, and this is of course what we see today. This is a miraculous prediction of the Quran. You call and you will see they come, and now they are coming, going. Yeah, but it says يَأْتُوكَ, they come to you, رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. And when we go there, it says فَاتَّخِذُوا, the verses فَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, pray where Ibrahim stood. So means that that person, by purifying the heart, flows of rivers, who benefits many, many people, benefits generations have come out. This is one type of heart. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ, in comparison, of course, hijara, stone is hard. However, if we want to compare these three grades with three grades of people, one grade of people is like grade of Ibrahim, like grade of prophets. They benefit huge people. The other grade are those who try to purify. They are good, and they preach people to, in their capacity, they have some benefits. Not like Ibrahim and others, of course, but in their capacity, they have some benefit. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقْ, some of them split, and some water comes forth from them. And some people are those who are fearful in their heart, but have no benefit for the others. They are fearful for themselves, they are spiritual for themselves, but have no benefit for the others. Of course, sometimes we have some spiritual people who are harmful for other people rather than being beneficial, but we do not discuss them. There are, we have from Ashabul A'imma alayhi wasalam, some spiritual wakala, who, because they were very spiritual and because they could do some karamat, eventually they deviated, they claimed things for themselves. This spirituality is harmful, of course. But there are some people who are spiritual in themselves, there is no harm in them, and do not give any benefit. But what about you? This is, of course, talking to Jews or their forefathers, that you do not benefit people like your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. There is no even little benefit in what you do. You are not only you don't have any benefit, you are trying to turn Muslims away from this prophet. And also in yourself, in your hearts, there is no fear, like those stones which fall from khashyatullah. Now, what's the meaning of وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, there are some stones which fall from khashyatullah. What does that mean? Do stones fear God? Do mountains, for example, fear God? Now, some people, some modern exegetes, very respectable, of course, exegetes, they have mentioned that sometimes we see that water, when rain comes, there are small grooves in rocks and in stones. The water goes there and it freezes. When it freezes, it expands. And gradually, it somehow makes way, breaks the stone, and the stone falls. And they call this khashyatullah. Why? Because this is, of course, the sunnah of Allah. This is the law of Allah in the universe. This is nature. The nature that Allah has created, it works based on its nature, and working based on the nature is fear from Allah. This is what some exegetes have said. If we do not want to go into any sort of hidden aspect of the nature, it is probably the best explanation. However, we know in the Quran that Quran says there is a certain sort of hidden aspect to everything that you see in this world. In that hidden aspect that you do not see, everything has intelligence. Everything has an understanding of God. in their own way. And there are allusions to this in the Quran. For example, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything, there is nothing in this world unless they glorify God and praise Him. However, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِهَمْ. You do not understand. Now, what this explanation that I just mentioned says is that, yes, we understand the way the stones are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by, for example, water going freezing and splitting. However, the Quran says, no, there are aspects that you do not understand. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You do not understand their tasbih. Especially about mountains, we are told that, yes, mountains can understand and praise Allah. When David was praising God, Inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashiyya wal-ishraq. We made the mountains to praise with him. When he was praising, the mountains praised as well. His soul actually affected the environment in a way that it resonated, vibrated in a way that the hidden side of these mountains became apparent, and they showed this praise which they had hiddenly, they are always hiddenly doing. Actually, Rumi in his poetry alludes to that about everything in this world. He says, ma sami'imu, ma basirimu sami'imu, khushim az shuma na mahraman ma khamushim. We are very much alert. We see, we hear, we are happy from the praise of God, but you are not, of course, the ones who could see that. You are na mahram, you are not privy to these aspects of us. So, yes, ya jibala awwabi ma'ahu wa tayr. We said to mountains and to the birds to sing my praise with David. That is a person who can bring about the hidden aspects of this world with his soul, with his praise, of course. And that is special for him. No one else can do that. But all these would show, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Had we revealed this Quran to a mountain. What does it mean, had we revealed it to a mountain? It means that if we had sent it down in the language that mountain can understand it. Now the mountain cannot understand it. But had we sent it in a language that mountain could understand it, you would have seen that mountain would have exploded. Khashan, humble, mutasaddan, exploding, min khashyatillah, from the fear of Allah. Anyhow, we can, of course, based on our taste, choose any one of them. The scientific explanation of khashyatullah, wa inna minha lama yahbitu min khashyatillah. There are some stones which fall from the fear of Allah. And it says there are some stones which do it, and not all. Just like human beings, there are some human beings who have khashyatullah, not all. The stones, the same thing. Or we can accept, of course, this more mystical understanding, the hidden understanding. We have this hadith reported by Shia and Sunni that before Prophet becoming a messenger, or after he became the messenger, which is more widespread, this hadith, that when he was coming back from Hira, and he had received the revelation, every stone he passed by, they said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulallah." And in many traditions, we have that from 3 years before revelation, since he was 37 years old, when he was going to Hara and coming back, the stones actually used to call him, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulallah." And here, of course, in a hadith reported through Sunni sources, it says that after the revelation came to him and he was coming back home, every stone was greeting him, "Assalamu alaykum ya Rasulallah." Now, this may be, again, like David. David actually brought out the hidden aspect of the stones, the hidden life, the underground life of stones, so to speak. And the prophet as well could have done this to them. Okay, after this, now, after their heart are hardened, Allah speaks to the believers. What do you expect from them? أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمَنُوا لَكُمْ Do you really expect that they believe in you? Inshallah, we leave this for our next session. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ الطَّاهِرِينَ
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. We got about 15, 20 minutes to further the discussion and clarify any points. Any brothers?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum.
Trying to link two things together, the hardening of the heart. Recently I had talking to people, a group of university students, and they say that we had the success to convert somebody into Islam, or at least leave his alcohol, because we were sitting together and we discussed the right and wrong things about it. So if you were to say that hearts are sealed, does that then mean that there is no chance of redemption? Because it has a bearing on keeping company with people who are not true believers, you know, maybe hypocrites or munafiqun as such. And because none of our imams actually came out and said, you are evil, even to the munafiqeen. So in present day terms, if you were to sit on a table with maybe local English friends who are drinking, and your excuse would then be that if I sit with them, then there is a chance that they can become better Muslims and leave drinking. So whereas somebody like me, being above, you know, being fathers of university students, we would say, no, don't sit on that table. End of story. There is no excuse for it. So here I'm trying to see whether there is a precedent for.
Maybe. Yes, there's a very strong precedent, and that is when Jesus entered the city. We have it in the Bible and in our traditions. He usually went to these houses of people who made wines, drank wine, were doing all sorts of corruptions. And when he was told he was criticized by Jews, actually, that why you always go to the houses of these people, corrupt people, why don't you go to houses of the more credible people? And he said that I'm like a physician. I have to go where the patient is, not to where people don't need me. However, that is Jesus. You know, we have to be careful, because these diseases are contagious. And we have to be careful not to be affected by that contagion. It depends on the intention, really. I mean, if you really feel that you can guide someone by going and sitting on their table while they are drinking wine, if that is the intention, and you really feel that you are immune from that contagious disease, that's fine. But if you feel that, no, you will be affected by them, then, of course, it's a different story.
Thank you. Goodbye. Just a minute. Sisters, any sisters? No? Brother, yeah, please.
Alaikum
Assalam. I just had a quick question regarding to Khashyat Allah. When you said, for example, Khashyat Allah, means, for example, the phenomenon, natural phenomenon, which you said, for example, the water goes into porosity and it would be expanded. My question is, that's a natural phenomenon. It could be happen for any material. So when you are talking about the Khashyat Allah, we expect to see something supernatural. So in what base, in what source, we could say, for example, it means such a thing, such like, for example, explosion from the water expansion, changing to the ice and then expansion because of the increasing the volume. So.
Of course, has been a trend. It is not a new thing. Even old exegetes have mentioned this. And because it's a sort of denial of that hidden aspect of this nature, which the Quran alludes to in many different senses. They say it about animals as well. For example, the animals also praise God by following their instincts. But I agree with you. This is not a right interpretation. Because, for example, about animals, especially the Quran talks about their high understanding about Tawheed, about Hashiyatullah, about all these things. The Quran talks about that Hupu, Hudhud, which knows many things about Tawheed, why people prostrate before, for example, sun and moon. So I don't think that's the right interpretation, but probably because it has been a philosophical sort of background that nothing but human beings have this understanding of God. Therefore, all these are under Khashyatullah based on following the natural laws, which I don't think is correct. You're right.
Thank you. Any sisters? Brother?
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Just a question about the, you said about the Quran being revealed to the mountains, they would have broken up and whatever. I just don't understand the whole concept of this. How can you reveal the Quran on the mountains? The mountains don't have any understanding.
We were just discussing about it, isn't it? Yeah, that's
all right.
Some people say there is no understanding. Therefore, Khashyatullah means, and actually this verse has been explained by those who follow that line, that yeah, it means that it is just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. It means that if it was possible to reveal the Quran to a mountain, you would have seen it humbled, while your hearts would not humble. But others may say no. It has a deeper meaning. It means that mountains also have understandings, and these understandings, especially this intelligence, would become very much apparent. It will become magnified when Darul Akhirah comes. And that's when every place would bear witness for what you have done, isn't it? يَوْمَ إِذِنْ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بَأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. On that day, the earth informs, reports whatever has happened on it. So how can earth does that? Probably because there is some intelligence which will become magnified on that day. Now, in its not magnified form now, there are certain things that may magnify it, like the soul of David when he praises. He magnifies it. It becomes in resonance with this intelligence which is not awakened yet, which is just dormant, this intelligence, but he awakens it by his soul. And of course, Allah on the Day of Judgment can awaken it by his power.
Thank you. Any sisters? No, Brother Riyaz?
Alayhi wasalam.
Sorry, I know that Muhammad Raza is very particular about the microphone setting.
Yes, of course.
So, and quite good reasons, because it has to be recorded, I understand. Sheikh, I just wanted to talk a little bit about when you compared God's creation, human beings, with the different types of stone that you mentioned, and the levels of spirituality that people have, influence others, influence greatly, or just their God themselves. Mm. So are these levels preordained? Can somebody reach that level through their own effort? Can they move levels by their own effort? Or is this something that is in the hand of God and it's just how your future is determined?
No, they are not preordained, except in very, very exceptional cases, like prophets. Not even for the prophets, not preordained in the sense that we think. Yes, they have higher capacity. Like, for example, our mental capacity is preordained, okay? Now, some of us have higher mental capacity, some of us have lower mental capacity. But the person with higher mental capacity may not use it at all. And the person with lower mental capacity may use it and surpass the state of that person. So yes, there are preordained differences, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So prophets have that preordained huge capacity. However, they may not use it. And when I say they may not use it, I mean they may not become prophets. There have been many people with that capacity, but they didn't become prophets. Or Allah actually rejected them completely, like Bal'am Ba'ur, which is mentioned in Surah A'raf. So there is a preordained aspect to it, and there is something which depends on our own struggle. All of us have a certain spiritual capacity, now, higher or lesser. And we can actually either completely put it aside and don't use it, and we can use it. And I think the lowest spiritual capacity of people are even such that they can, if they become spiritual, they can turn others spiritual as well. Purification, ikhlas, to some extent is in our hand. Then when it goes beyond that, then it is the work of Allah. And that's what, for example, Allah talks about, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Allah wants to remove rijs from you. That is where it's not in our hand anymore. It goes beyond that. So to summarize the answer, there is a preordained aspect for everything, and there is something that we have to work upon it. And that preordained aspect is because the creation as a whole would become meaningless if we don't have these differences. And of course, the voluntary aspect is because we are here to show that voluntary aspect. Otherwise, the whole world is وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاءَ. This verse in Surah Jasiya is very, very important about why this setup has been made. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. Why have we created this world? So that every person can show what they earn, and then I can place them where they have to be. So this earning is very, very important.
So just to follow up from them, Sheikh, you know, when you talk about matters of spirituality and self-development, then of course it becomes that you can strive, but ultimately the eyes to the world have to close and the eyes of the heart have to open.
Yes.
And that is not in our hands.
That is absolutely the only way for a spiritual progress. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Brothers?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
You mentioned about Bal'am bin Ba'ura, and a bit perplexing what you said was that there are people who have capacity to be prophets, but who either didn't use it or God rejected them. This is the first time I'm hearing something like this, which is
And this is the first time I'm saying it.
Oh, God. Because Bal'am, for example, in Jewish tradition, was a fallen prophet, which is a concept which we do not accept, I think, in Shi'ism at least, that there can be a prophet who actually loses his prophethood after becoming a prophet. But even in Jewish tradition, it's slightly complicated because the earlier sort of tradition shows him as a tragic hero, but he became a wicked prophet. A bit more perhaps on this, because
The concept of prophethood in Bible and in Islam are a bit different. Their prophethood means anyone who can have this capacity of prophecy. And we know that many people have this capacity of prophecy. I mean, to say things about future, even receiving some communication, which we may call them muhaddath, we don't call them prophets. But anyone like that are called prophets in Jewish tradition, in biblical tradition. Now, what we say about these people is that, yes, these people could have been chosen as prophets. They have this capacity of prophecy. They receive some sort of communication. They are muhaddath in a way. However, yes, they did not, or they used this capacity in wrong way. And therefore they are rejected like Bal'am Ba'ura. So not prophets in the sense that the chosen ones, Mustafa'in, but in the sense that they have the capacity of prophecy, the way the Bible talks about it. That's what I meant.
Sorry, one more thing. You mentioned Muhaddath, and we normally talk in terms of A'imma as being Muhaddath. Would that mean that had prophecy not stopped there, they could have been?
Yes, of course, because the prophets are chosen from usually among Siddiqeen, from among Shuhada, witnesses. Shuhada here doesn't mean martyrs, witnesses. When also we say about Fatima to Zahra, As-salamu alayka ayyuhat siddiqatu shaheeda. This doesn't mean martyrs, means one of those witnesses which are mentioned in verse 69 of Surah Nisa. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. These four categories of مقربون. Yes, of course, the A'imma are muhaddathun, and from the highest level of muhaddathun, from siddiqun, and usually Allah chooses His prophets from among these people. Now, sometimes there is no need for that. Okay, no chosen. No selection. Sometimes there is need for that, but because after the Prophet of Islam, this prophecy is completely sealed, we only have Muhaddathun, we don't have prophets anymore.
Thank you. Any sisters?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Oh, sorry, can you please further explain the hardness of the heart, because you said that these people are particular about maybe their wudu or their prayers in only thinking of this world, but it's a bit confused. I'm a bit confused that if they're actually going to be praying and all this kind of thing, surely they would be very aware of the hereafter too. I'm a bit confused, sorry.
This is a very difficult thing actually to grasp. Because usually we summarize the whole religion in these things. While these are actually the shell of religion. The religion has a body and has a heart, has a shell and has a core. The core is that is spirituality. The shell, of course, are these, and they are very important, very necessary. Without the shell, you don't have the core. Without the body, you don't have the soul. But you can have the body of religion without the spirit, without the soul of it, without the core of which is a spirituality. And this is what happens to certain people. They do it because either because it's a habit or because they fear that if they don't do it, they are harmed in their worldly matters, you know, not very much concerned about hereafter. In their worldly matters, there will be harm. Something comes on them because I didn't pray, for example. This happened to me. The examples that Quran gives us is very clear that what we want from you is both body and spirit. We don't want the spirit without body, without Sharia. We don't want Sharia without the spirit. And one may ask, how is it possible to have Sharia without spirit? Yes, we see it in many occasions, in Muslims, in Jews, in Christians, that we have this sort of rituals all the time, but there is no spirit to it. And that's what we have to actually enhance in ourselves. The other side of the argument is that these things are not important. It's only the spirit of the religion which is important, the core, which is, again, another wrong sort of argument, that you cannot have that spirit without this body and this shell.
Do you have a follow-up? Okay. Brother? Any brother?
Sorry, can I just follow up with that?
Yeah.
You know, in our salat, every day we say, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, isn't it? Now, many exegetes have said, haven't God guided us to Sirat al-Mustaqim? Because Islam is Sirat al-Mustaqim, isn't it? So why do we continuously say that? And because the confusion is huge. They say, we mean that we keep us on Siratul Mustaqim. Now, keep us on Siratul Mustaqim is very different from guide us to Siratul Mustaqim. Very different. How could you explain that in this way? Now, religion has come that by practicing it, we are guided to Siratul Mustaqim. Siratul Mustaqim is not this religion that we are practicing. This is a path to Siratul Mustaqim. Siratul Mustaqim are the Sirat are those Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor. We have two other categories of religious people. Ghayr al-Maghdub alayhim, not those to whom you gave the religion, but they behaved, they treated it in a way that you became angry with them. And this is like you give money to someone to do something, for example, they use it in a way that you become very angry with them. It's religion is the same thing. And this is what Allah says, especially about Banu Israel. We gave them this guidance, they treated it in a way that I am angry with them, and about many Muslims. I don't know, is God angry with ISIS or not angry with ISIS? Is God angry with us or not angry with us? We don't know, because we are treating this faith in a way sometimes which it becomes completely against what it means, what is its spirit. So we are practicing the faith. We recite the verses of the Quran, and we say that we are following these verses, but in a way that God is angry with us. And there are others that God is not angry with them, but they are lost. Because they are not bad-hearted, they are lost. And usually the exegesis we have in Hadith, the example of Christians. They don't have bad hearts. They didn't want to go into that route of Jesus, Son of God, or these things, but they were lost. So certain confusions came and they were lost. Now, we know that there are many Muslims who are lost as well. So, religion is given to us. We can treat it in a way that God becomes angry with us, more angry than those to whom he has not given religion, isn't it? That we may be lost, and then to be retrieved has a long story. And those who are guided to Siratul Mustaqim. Now, how are you guided to Siratul Mustaqim? You know, your heart should be opened. You have to understand the faith correctly. Your heart should turn towards hereafter rather than this world. Then Allah opens your heart, guides you to Siratul Mustaqim. After Allah mentions prophets in Surah An'am, he says, وَمِنْ آبَائِهِمْ, many of their fathers, وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ, many of their children, of their progeny, وَإِخْوَانِهِمْ, many of their brothers. They were not prophets. But فَاجْتَبَيْنَاهُمْ وَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We chose them, we guided them to Sirat al-Mustaqim. Of course, all of them were Jews. All of them were following the religion of Ibrahim, but not all of them be guided to Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sorry, it was a bit long.
Thank you. You have? Anja?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
You know the ayat in Surah Anfal, number 24, that when he says, "O you believe, answer the call of Allah." Mm. In his apostles, when he calls you, that which gives you life, and know that Allah intervenes between men. And so this is something, again, to do with the Sarah Sadr, and Allah intervenes at that time, or when person moves from one stage to the other, or?
Well, intervene is wa'lamu anna Allah yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbih. Now, intervene here means that Allah is actually sitting there between you and your heart. Well, I don't know, intervene may mean that, yes, Allah is the one who works on the heart. Even though you try hard, eventually it's Allah who guides. And this concept of Allah guiding means that everything is in His hand, of course. I mean, everything in this nature works, but eventually it's Allah who makes it work. Allahu alladhi sakhara al-fulk, if you see the ships are running on the sea, it's Allah who's doing it. Eventually Allah, the same thing with your heart in the nature. It's Allah who's working, not that you think it's cause and effect. Cause and effect is just a preparation for it. Allah does. Allah الذي أرسل الرياح. The winds are sent by Allah, not by nature. That's a totally different concept, of course. But what we understand this وَأَلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ is that before you want to intend something, before you want to, God knows it. This is the clear meaning that we understand from this verse.
Thank you. Any sisters? Okay, if I may ask one question before we go to brothers. The call for the Hajj, as we discussed, that Ibrahim, Allah gave order to Ibrahim, that order the people to come to you. Now, when it says to come to you at the house of God, would that not somehow lower the...
It's shirk, huh?
No. It's not shirk. Lower the position of Allah in compared to Ibrahim.
No, it raises the position of Ibrahim.
Yeah, that's right.
Lower the position of Allah. Yeah.
But why ordering to come to him rather than to Allah?
Because we are guided through him, isn't it? His heart, his pure heart is the one which guides us to Allah. Why Allah says that فيها آياتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ There are huge signs there in Masjid al-Haram. And one is where Ibrahim stood. You see, it's all intermingled, fused into Ibrahim, everything. Because Ibrahim has made this house to be house of God. He could do it. No one else could do it. No, even Ismail. Of course, Ismail was a prophet of God. Yeah. Ibrahim could send a message to Ismail from Palestine. Oh, my son, could you please have this house built? No, Allah says, now you go back. And you do it, Ismail only helps you. Helps you to make this house. So that purity of the house, this house is important. Otherwise, it's just a stone, isn't it? Why is this important? Because it is Ibrahim who has made it a perpetual purity. Now, يَأْتُوكَ رَجَالًا They come to you. وَعَلَىٰ كُلَّ ذَامِرًا They come to you. You will see they come to you. Because Allah has made it that way, isn't it? We go to Hajj, okay? But Allah says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَعِدًا Take your place of prayer from where Ibrahim stood. So we are going to Ibrahim, isn't it? That is the meaning of we are going to Ibrahim. We are going to pray where he stood. And this is how people are very important. There is some sort of understanding of Islam and Tawhid that people are not important. Prophets are not important. When they are dead, they are dead. You see, Ibrahim is dead 4,000 years ago. Still, Allah says, no, you go and pray where Ibrahim stood. He's not dead, therefore. There's this inclination to of some understanding in Muslim culture that, yes, when prophet is dead, prophet is just like a receiver and received and gave it to us, and he's gone now, we are on our own. It's not the case.
So this, because the Quran is a continuous thing, and it means that this is a continuity, and so it means that we are, as I understand it, we are taking the wasila of Ibrahim, Hazrat Ibrahim, to pray to Allah, is it?
Well, it is his purity which makes our hearts into gold, you see, this yeah. copper of our heart into gold. And that's why we believe that going to shrines of A'imma, of Prophet, peace be upon him, it has an effect. It has an effect on our spirituality, the same way we go to Hajj, which has an effect on our spirituality.
Thank you. Last question from brother's side. Any brother?
Yeah. You mentioned that the prophet, Allah chooses the prophets or the whatever from the Salihin, people who've been good in the world.
From Mugharrabun, yes.
Mugharrabun. So then questions to me the fact that the prophet, they said that the prophet was a prophet from the time he was born, or the imams were imams from the time they were born, and all the rest of it. So it sort of brings a bit of a question.
Well, there is a There's a complicated answer to that, actually. Yes, of course, Prophet had this capacity. As we said, the capacities are different. Not anyone can be chosen as a prophet, of course. Only someone could be chosen as a prophet who has that high capacity of spirituality. Okay? So in that sense, yes, since his birth he was a prophet, in that sense. But was he given the mission as well? Was he appointed? No. He appointed as a prophet at a certain age and in a certain time. But yes, of course, that capacity was there since birth. Since birth, he shouldn't commit any sin, because committing one sin would disqualify the person to become a prophet completely. So he should have been, of course, infallible since birth. All these would tell us that, yes, since birth he was prophet in that sense, but he was appointed in one moment in time, which was when he was in Hira and Revelation came to him.
Thank you, Retinue Sheikh. Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salam.